Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
And now we're moving on to our next guest, Dr. Tamika Quick. She has Leading Young Women, and she is just doing amazing work helping people step up to their potential. So please tell us all about what you're doing.
Essentially, Leading Young Women started out as an aspiration to start an all-girls school. I have been in higher education for about 20 years within the state of New Jersey. And during one of my trips in taking some students to Ghana, Africa for a service trip, I had the opportunity of watching a documentary on the plane ride. And it was about an all-girls school in Baltimore, Maryland. And the movie really spoke to me from two different perspectives. One, I was able to see myself in the young ladies that were in this movie, in this documentary. It really talked about young girls from the inner city being raised by single mothers, being in high school, being involved, aspiring to go further with their education. And then the second space was an administrator in the school. And there was one young lady in the documentary who was struggling academically. And the administrator is talking to a junior college colleague, and she starts crying and saying, "This is probably not ethical of me or showing the most integrity, but if we don't help get this young lady into a school, we're going to lose her." And at that time, working in higher education and being a woman of color, there are just so many times that young ladies have come to me with their own stories, their own experiences, not knowing what it is that they wanted to do, what direction they were going in. And so I was able to see myself in that administrator as well. COVID came around, and I did a little bit of research about the all-girls school and learned that it actually was a part of an organization from out here in New York. And I'm originally from New York, and I saw that as another aha moment. So did my research, contacted them, was able to engage with them, and actually started my entrepreneur journey in 2020. So oddly enough, I actually started Leadership Academy for Young Women as an LLC first, because I knew that that was the name that I wanted for the actual school. We reconnected in 21, myself and the organization, and started doing some digging in New Jersey to see where was there a need for young girls academically for us to explore the idea of starting an all-girls school. So we had identified Jersey City, and we're working with Jersey City to start an all-girls school. It had actually gotten approved, and we were supposed to open it in the fall of 21. Unfortunately, that did not happen, but because we had already started the process and it wasn't happening that year, but we had postponed it by a year. We wanted to get more settled within the community, connect with the community, connect with other organizations, and that's how Leading Young Women evolved. I started the nonprofit because I started connecting with a bunch of organizations and churches in Jersey City, meeting the young ladies of Jersey City, and that's where the community engagement aspect of our organization evolved. So we started doing back-to-school drives. We started doing vision board parties as well as prom dress drive events. And that was the community engagement arm. The school was supposed to open again in September 2022. Unfortunately, did not happen. But I was very committed to what I had started and the work in just supporting young ladies, in whether it's in service, leadership, personal development, especially in the middle school, high school age range, because that's when identity development is happening for young girls. That's when they're going through the mean girl experience in school and just trying to find themselves separate from their parents as well. So because I am from Passaic, I circled back into my own town and actually had the opportunity of running a pilot enrichment program with Passaic High School last April. So they gave us the opportunity to run an enrichment program. We named it Diamonds and Gems, where we did a pilot program with some young ladies from April to June, meeting with them twice a week, talking about issues that they were dealing with in school, at home, but then also fostering female empowerment, introducing them to different aspects of what it means to be a young lady. From there, we did a great job. And we were invited this year. And so now we've been running our full enrichment program with the high school since November. And it's been going really, really well. And oddly enough, a middle school recently reached out to us. And now we have an enrichment program with a middle school as well in Patterson. The women that have been working with me on this movement since 2020 said to me, you know, the original goal was, in fact, to start an all-girls school. So I'm pleased to say that we just submitted our charter school application to start an all-girls school in New Jersey last month, and we are currently at the phase of waiting to hear back about whether or not we've been approved or not. If we have been approved, we'll go on to phase two, which will need to be completed by mid-June, and then we will have interviewing in the month of August, and then if all goes well, we'll open in September.
Yay.
So wow, it's been
great.
A journey, but it is doing phenomenal, and I'm having a great experience with the young ladies.
I can tell Judith is ready to pose questions. Judith, go!
Well, we had talked a little bit actually on the tour about some of the other resources that you can leverage from the state, whether it's from the Economic Development Authority grants, some of the support organizations such as the Women's Center for Entrepreneurship Corporation, GNEC makes microloans to small businesses within the state of New Jersey in the area that you're looking at. Small business development centers, you know, there's a whole group that supports nonprofits. I'm sure you're tapped into them to get some free and advice and counseling.
As I was mentioning to you before, that's the space that we are in. This is essentially year five. And we have been getting a lot of attention, a lot of people wanting to collaborate and partner, a lot more young ladies wanting to join the organization. So right last year or over the year, it's been about the enrichment programs, but they've been tied to schools. And a lot more parents and young ladies are saying, I want to get involved as well. So now this year we are looking to see how we might just be able to run general programming as well as mentoring for girls who are not tied to a school but fit within the age range so we can support them. And I just recently found me a grant writer. That's probably, when you talk about challenges, that's been one of the challenges, is being able to find someone who's committed to this work, who wants to look for grants and apply for them. It's time consuming. But a lot of this has been based off of donations, family, my own pockets. Yeah. And so now the speed of the organization has outgrown those things. And now I'm learning about GuideStar. I'm learning about GiveButter and how you collect the information from people who have donated and how you continue to foster those relationships. So I think this is the year of us really taking it up a notch and trying to secure some additional funding so that way we can do a lot more, because the young ladies are really excited.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I think that this is so important. And the reason it is so important is because these are people who don't realize their own potential and may never finish out school or really rise up to what they can do. And then if you can keep them there, they could find a cure for cancer in 10 years, right?
Absolutely.
Like, this is who you're bringing up.
Absolutely.
And finding young people who are smart. Like, a lot of these kids are really smart. Absolutely. They've just never had a chance to show
it,
right?
And I'm constantly telling young ladies, you do not have to be a product of where your life starts out. Right. As you mentioned, it's about the journey. There isn't an end pole. There isn't a goal. It is about going your life distant and being able to embrace every part of that journey, because that's going to make you who you essentially are. So I'm constantly telling the girls, we don't focus on where we are right now. We're focused on the step that's in front of us and where it is that we're striving to go. If you look at statistics, I wasn't supposed to be here. Single mom, father who was an alcoholic and on drugs, right? Didn't have the best relationship, but I got my degrees. I'm successful career-wise, and now I believe that I'm in a place where I'm pursuing my passion and what my purpose is and why I was brought here. So I'm going to continue doing the work and continue to try to support and advance young ladies.
What are the typical stories that you hear from these young women?
There is a mixture, to be quite honest. You have some who, I have one young lady who is on the principal honor roll, has been on the principal honor roll for quite some time, here from Jamaica, oddly enough, has not seen her mom in 7 years, is here with her father. Extremely smart and steadfast in her academics and being involved, but also craves that woman engagement because of not being able to see her mom, and is constantly coming to the programs, learning, talking about what does it look like to go to college in-state or out-of-state, because she's extremely bright. And we talk about mental health. What does mental health look like? How do you do self-care? We just had a session last week where I had a woman who's an esthetician. She came in and talked to them about what it means to be an esthetician, but then she also did a workshop with them on how they take care of their face, how they produce, you know, great quality with their skincare and things of that sort. I had someone come in and introduce them to what it means to become doula certified. So right, not all students want to go to college. You do have some students who want to go into the field with training. So we expose them to all of that. I have another young lady who actually wants to do hair and play softball. So it's a wide variety of young ladies. This is my first time working with middle school girls, and I will say I was nervous at first, but they are a joy. I've been able to notice the sponge that they are. And I think collectively I'm seeing that these young girls desire to have somebody regularly engaged, right? And sometimes these young ladies who are coming from inner cities, whether it's single mom, single dad, their parents have to work. And they are not always given the amount of parenting and time that they might need that we as an organization are striving to do. And it's connecting them to all different types of women from different backgrounds and walks of life to show them success looks differently.
How do you organize all of the people involved, and how do the girls get the information?
So we definitely have a website, leadingyoungwomen.com. We have social media, Facebook and Instagram. It's both Leading Young Women. Haven't gotten to TikTok just yet. What we've done is we do have our board members. Then we have a leadership team who works with me on the regular planning. Right now, everybody is volunteer. And then we also have created something called community advisory boards. Because we are looking to serve different communities, we've been able to find like-minded women who are interested in giving back to young girls. And what we'll do is sit down, like right now we're getting ready to sit down for our strategic plan for this year and talk about what is this year going to look like, what events and programs are we going to actually offer, and which ones will be within those communities happening simultaneously, and which ones will just be one collectively the entire organization and we bring the girls together. Right now, I just recently got a young woman who had her own women's nonprofit organization but kind of stopped the work. But she's still in the movement. She's now our enrichment coordinator. So she's working with me to try and acquire more opportunities with other middle schools and high schools. We've also been able to get some interns who are either in the social work field or teaching field who are going to assist us in facilitating some of these programs because they need the hours, they need the experience. And then I also will have some interns over the summer who are going to help with like our social media and planning our events for the upcoming year.
Can you share some stories from some of the girls that have been through your program and the progress that they've made?
Sure. So I would say I'm having the most success right now with the girls that are participating in my Diamonds and Gems program in Passaic High School. I would say three of them in particular. There have been colleagues from the high school who have come to me and shared with me that they've seen such a wide and huge difference from behavior to academics to level of engagement within the school, addressing conflict head on, right? One of the things that I'm constantly talking to them about is how they are able to manage their emotion and how do we utilize what we're thinking and feeling and actually vocalizing it. Our tagline for our organization is Voices That Matter. Constantly reassuring them and letting them know that their voice matters. One of the other things that I'm also teaching them is how to be silent. There's so much outside noise that we don't take enough time to be in tune with our own thoughts, right? And we have a woman who's a great partner and colleague of mine who came in and did trauma and healing with them and talking about what is the difference between good thoughts and bad thoughts. And how do we push against the bad thoughts that we might be having? How do we practice mindfulness and staying in that? And right, your mind is going to drift, but how do you bring yourself back? So a lot of these young ladies, in starting to work with them, either the absences were really intense, they might have been getting in trouble with suspensions, or their grades weren't up to par, and now we're definitely seeing a different transition. I just recently got an award 2 weeks ago from the Partnership for Maternal and Infant Health of Northern New Jersey. They gave me an award, and I asked them if I could have the opportunity of bringing four of the young ladies. It's a cocktail hour, business, semi-formal, I should say. There were going to be a lot of people professionally. I wanted them to have that experience. So they did give me four complimentary, and they had the opportunity of seeing what it meant to network, seeing what a silent auction was, what it means to have waiters coming around giving hors d'oeuvres, what it meant to have a champagne glass or putting a napkin on their lap, the valet opening the door, little experiences like that, that at the end of the night, they were just ecstatic because they had that opportunity. That's what it's about. It's about introducing them to things and giving them access to things that they wouldn't normally have.
That's wonderful. Earlier, you mentioned a sort of a strategic direction to pursue like a charter school.
Yes.
Why would you do that as opposed to simply expanding the reach of your current organization? What benefits does that offer?
So if you look at research, the school that we have applied for is called Girls Academy for Leadership and Excellence. We're calling it GALE. Girls academically perform differently when they are in single-gendered environments in comparison to co-ed spaces. Before, when I started, when we were trying in Jersey City, there's a national organization that is for all girls schools, and tons of research and data that shows the success rate, the way in which girls will show up and speak up for themselves, not worrying about the peer pressure, seeing the level of engagement being very equal amongst each other as peers. And then the other thing, too, is very much access. If we look at it, there are tons of private schools for single gendered, but there are hardly no public schools in New Jersey, I should say, because there are a great deal here in New York. But in New Jersey, there are only two public all boys schools and there are no public all girls schools. I am always pushing against what people have a hard time in seeing where there's access and equity. And I just want to be able to afford these young ladies the opportunity to be in an environment where they can be their authentic selves and not feel as though they have to put on any type of facade or be something different. They're all going through similar experiences with just different players and characters, and wanting them to foster that sense of sisterhood at a younger age, because we are seeing that women are running the world and we're doing a great job at it.
Yeah. I will say, though, it is hard for girls at that age, especially because the boys don't want the girls to be smarter than them. And I think that's a real thing. So,
and I think one of the things too, what we, and I was explaining this as well, STEM is a really big deal for young girls. STEAM is a very big deal. That's one of the things that we've also been working on, is how do we partner with organizations that already exist. So, for instance, I've been having some conversations with Black Girls Who Code and talking about, if the school does get approved, how might I work with them to be able to foster some of the curriculum within the actual school. So that way we are, in fact, being intentional with the work that we're doing with these girls. I want to look at the big landscape, right? And where are our girls underperforming or not doing the most? And those are the spaces that I want to bring them to.
Well, that is awesome. And I'm so happy you're doing this.
Thank
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but
how
do people find you?
So my email is really easy. My email is aquick@leadingyoungwomen.com. Our website, again, is leadingyoungwomen.com. All social media handles, you can find us by leadingyoungwomen.com.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.